निर्गुणस्य गुणाश्रयः स्थिति सर्ग निरोधेषु गृहीता मायया विभो सत्वं रजस्तमैति निर्गुणस्य गुणाश्रयः स्थिति सर्ग निरोधेषु गृहीता मायया विभो सत्वं रजस्तमैति निर्गुणस्य गुणाश्रयः स्थिति सर्ग निरोधेषु गृहीता मायया विभो सत्वं रजस्तमैति निर्गुणस्य गुणाश्रयः स्थिति सर्ग निरोधेषु गृहीता मायया विभो सत्वं रजस्तमैति निर्गुणस्य गुणाश्रयः स्थिति सर्ग निरोधेषु गृहीता मायया विभो सत्वं रजस्तमैति निर्गुणस्य गुणाश्रयः स्थिति सर्ग निरोधेषु गृहीता मायया विभो सत्वं रजस्तम इति निर्गुणस्य गुणाश्रयः स्थिति सर्ग निरोधेषु गृहीता मायया मतजिस् सत्वं रजस्तम इति निर्गुणस्य गुणाश्रयः स्थिति सर्ग निरोधेषु गृहीता मायया विभो सत्वं रजस्तम इति निर्गुणस्य गुणाश्रयः स्थिति सर्ग निरोधेषु गृहीता मायया सत्वं रजस्तम इति निर्गुणस्य गुणाश्रयः स्थिति सर्ग निरोधेषु गृहीता मायया विभो वट् टु वट् मीनिंग सत्वं द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस रजः द मोड ऑफ पैशन तमः the mode of ignorance iti all these nirgunasya of the transcendence gunatrayah are three qualities sthiti maintenance sarga creation nirodheshu indestruction grihitah accepted mayaya by the external energy vibho of the supreme translation and purport by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada the supreme lord is pure spiritual form transcendental to all material qualities yet for the sake of the creation of the material world and its maintenance and annihilation he accepts through his external energy the material modes of nature called goodness passion and ignorance purport The Supreme Lord is the master of the external energy manifested by the three material modes, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. And as master of this energy, he is ever unaffected by the influence of such bewildering energy. The living entities, the jivas, however, are affected by or susceptible to being influenced by such modes of material nature. That is the difference between the Lord and the living entities. The living entities are subjected by those qualities. Although originally the living entities are qualitatively one with the Lord. In other words, the material modes of nature being products of the energy of the Lord are certainly connected with the Lord. But the connection is just like that between the master and the servants. The Supreme Lord is the controller of the material energy, whereas the living entities who are entangled in the material world are neither masters nor controllers. Rather, they become subordinate to or controlled by such energy. Factually, the Lord is eternally manifested by his internal potency or spiritual energy, just like the sun and its rays in the clear sky. But at times, he creates the material energy as the sun creates a cloud in the clear sky. As the sun is ever increasingly unaffected by a spot of cloud, so also the unlimited Lord is unaffected by the spot of material energy manifested at times in the unlimited span of the Lord's rays of Brahma Jyoti. Om Ajnanati Virandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langeti grim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dena tarinam. Hare Krishna. So before I begin to speak on this exalted subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and also those who are hearing this session online, so that I can speak something meaningful which is beneficial to all of us. So today we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 2nd, Chapter 5, text number 18. So I'll just repeat the translation again. The Supreme Lord is pure spiritual form, transcendental to all material qualities, yet for the sake of creation of the material world and its maintenance and annihilation, he accepts through his external energy the material modes of nature called goodness, passion and ignorance. So, in the second canto, now we have just begun to discuss about the creation of this material world. Right? Vedic scriptures, they have their own discussion or description about the how this material creation happened, unlike the other theory which the scientists put forth, the theory of evolution through Big Bang. So I will not go into details of that discussion, but I will explain what is being discussed in this Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, this is a conversation that is happening between Lord Brahmaji and Narad Muni. So initially, Narad Muni was feeling that, you know, since Brahmaji is doing so many wonderful activities of creation, so he was thinking that, you know, he is the most powerful person in this world. But then, you know, as a real guru, as a proper guru is supposed to be, Lord Brahma actually clarifies that he is not the supreme personal. There is someone who is much more powerful than Brahmaji also himself. So here, Brahmaji is mentioning that Krishna is transcendental to all the material qualities, the three modes, Sattva, Raju and Tamoguna. And some of the points which Prabhupada also mentions in the purport of this verse, that Krishna is the master of the material modes and he is also the controller of these material modes. And that's why he can never get affected by this. Right? Because she is working under the direction of Krishna. So how can he be affected by these modes? On the contrary, the living entities are influenced by the material modes. Right? So Brahmaji is clarifying that I am also one of the living entities. So I am not powerful. Krishna is powerful because I am under the, you know, jurisdiction of Maya. I am being influenced by these three modes of material nature. Like the analogy is given, also given that of the sun. The sun is eternally manifested in the sky. And the sky is also very clear. But sometimes the sun also creates a cloud, which may obstruct our vision to see the sky. Right? But it doesn't mean that the sun is getting affected by the formation of this cloud. We are getting affected by the cloud, but not the sun. The sun is always powerful. He is the source of the creation of this cloud also. Similarly, Krishna is the creation of this material energy. So he is the master, he is also the controller of this material energy. So in the fourth chapter of this canto, which we have already completed, so Parikshit Maharaj is requesting Shukadeva Goswami, please tell me more about Krishna, Harikatha. Please do more and more Harikatha. Because by doing that, my ignorance is getting destroyed. So that was the kind of enthusiasm or alertness in which Parikshit Maharaj was hearing the Katha by Shukadeva Goswami. So all his ignorance was getting dispelled just by hearing Harikatha. So that was the request put forth by Parikshit Maharaj. So Harikatha or Krishna Katha is divided into two parts. First part is the Katha which is connected to the material creation, right? Creation of this world, as we are discussing in this canto. And the second part is the Harikatha or the activities which are connected with the internal energy of the Lord, the spiritual energy of the Lord. Right? Similarly, the Lord's incarnations are also of two types. First, that is connected to material energy, like we have Purusha Avataras and Guna Avataras that we are discussing now. And also those incarnations which are connected to the spiritual energy of the Lord. The Lord comes and performs different pastimes, leelas, so they all come under this category. So here, Shukadeva Goswami is preferring to speak about the creation part, the activities of the Lord, the Harikatha of the Lord, connected to the material energy, the creation of this world first, before he speaks about the, you know, Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka Leela of the Lord. Right? So Prabhupada has been emphasizing this in many places in Srimad Bhagavatam, that before going to 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, before discussing the pastimes of Krishna, first we should learn about Krishna's creation also. That is the greatness part of Krishna, to learn about how Krishna is great. Like Prabhupada also says, many people write this, God is great. But they don't know how God is great. What are the characteristics of the greatness of God? Right? So that is being discussed in this second canto. How Krishna is great, how Krishna is powerful. Before getting into the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes, that is the Krishna Leela. Right? So Shukadeva Goswami prefers to first speak about the Harikatha, which is connected to the creation of this material world. And Narad Muni also put forth 6 questions to Shukadeva Goswami. And the questions are, Yad Rupam, Yad Adishtam, Yadishtanam, Yad Shishtam, Yad Samstham, Yad Param, Yad Cha. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking these questions. What are the characteristics of this universe? What is the background of this universe? Why it has to be created? How the universe is created? How the universe is conserved or annihilated or destroyed? What this universe depends on? What this universe composes of? What are the ingredients of this universe? So these were the questions put forth by Narad Muni to Lord Brahmaji. So today we are discussing the 18th verse. So this section, which starts from 17 till 20th of this verse of this chapter, it discusses about Brahmaji is clearly saying, I am not equal to Krishna. I am subordinate to Krishna. I am very insignificant in front of Krishna. There is a difference between me and Krishna. So the difference between Jiva Tattva and Vishnu Tattva, that is what is being discussed in this shloka. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, right? Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita starts with this shloka. Aham sarvasya prabho matta sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanivata. So Krishna is saying that both this material world and the spiritual world is coming from him. Both are the emanations of the Supreme Lord. Right? So here, the material energy, as we say, Maya Devi, or whatever, it belongs. This energy belongs to Krishna. And this energy is consisting of three things. That is the three modes of material nature. Sattvaguna, Rajoguna and Tamoguna. However, Krishna is beyond these three modes. Rather, he controls these three gunas through his Maya Shakti. So here, what Brahma is telling to Narad Muni, Jiva and Vishnu, they are different. As we see that famous post, photograph of Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya would always put his fingers like this. So he wanted to clearly specify that Jiva and Vishnu are different. They can never become one or same. So, but then, apart from this difference between the Jiva and the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, there are many other differences between us and the Lord, which Krishna discusses in Bhagavad Gita in many of the sections. And also Prabhupada also mentions in the purports of Gita and Bhagavatam. So we'll go through some of the differences between the Jiva and the Lord, so that, you know, apart from the reason which Brahmaji is also giving in this particular shloka. First one is, Jiva is called as Anu, infinitesimal, very small, minute, right? So Krishna possesses 64 qualities, of which Jiva, especially Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they can at the most have 55 qualities, and that too in minute quantity. Right? Beautiful qualities that are mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Jiva can possess only 55 qualities, that too in minute quantity. And Krishna is called as Vibhu, the all-powerful, the great Lord. And Krishna, actually he has all the 64 qualities in unlimited quantity. That is one important difference between Jiva and the Vishnu Tattva. And the second difference is, we are conscious of only our body, whereas Krishna is conscious of all the bodies, of all the Jivas of this world. Everything. Right? So, sometimes it is even become difficult for us to be conscious of our own body also, or maybe some parts of our body. Especially a person who is suffering from paralysis, some of the bodily parts, he doesn't have any consciousness also. Right? So, it is so difficult to be conscious of our own bodies, what to speak of other bodies. But Krishna as Paramatma, he is conscious of all the bodies, of all the living entities. There is another difference between Jiva and Vishnu Tattva. And Krishna also mentions in Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter, he knows past, present and future. For us it is even difficult to remember what happened yesterday at the same time. We are not able to remember that. But Krishna says he remembers past, present and future. Right? Bahuni me viditani janmani tava charjuna tanyaham veda sarvani natvam veta parantapa. So Krishna could remember all the previous lifetimes, where Arjuna was not able to remember. So Krishna is clarifying that, you know, I gave this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to sun god Vivasvan long back, billions of years back. Right? You may not remember that. You are also present in different capacity, but you are not remembering that. So that is the third difference between the Jiva and the Vishnu Tattva. And the fourth one, the reason which Brahma is also mentioning to Narad Muni. So Jiva is susceptible to be influenced by the three modes. Like we have this Dairoma downstairs. Three different ladies, they are, you know, they are having ropes in their hands and they are making us to dance. They are making us the Jiva to dance by controlling the Jiva through these three modes. So we are susceptible to be influenced by these three modes, but Krishna is beyond the three modes. Right? So Krishna is always in a liberated stage. So even when Krishna is bound, he can liberate others. That is Krishna's speciality also. All of you know this pastime of Damodar Leela. When Krishna was bound to the grinding mortar, so he was bound, but he was able to liberate the sons of Kuvera. Right? He could able to liberate them. So generally a person who is bound, he cannot free the other person who is bound. But Krishna, although bound, he was able to unbound the bound. So Krishna is powerful. So he is beyond the three modes. And the fifth difference is we can never become God. Right? This is a popular notion outside where people say everyone can become God. You can also become God. But then scriptures are clearly mentioning that we can never become God. We can only become godly. We can acquire the qualities of God in certain quantity. Not even unlimited quantity. So Krishna remains God in all the situations. It is not that Krishna, when he became youth, he went to gym and he performed a lot of exercise. And then after that he killed many demons. Not like that. He was God when he was a small child also. So when he was just 3 years old, he killed the gigantic Rakshasa Putana. So he was all powerful at all the times. Right? All situations. So that is the fifth difference between us and the Supreme Lord. We can never become God. We can only become godly. And Krishna is absolute in nature. Like Krishna's name is as powerful as Krishna himself. Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's dealings, Krishna's paraphernalia, everything is on the absolute nature. There is no difference. Right? And seventh difference is being the Tatastha Shakti, the marginal energy of the Lord, we can get bound. But Krishna can liberate others. As Lord Shiva also mentions to Mother Parvati, as mentioned in Padma Puran, conversation between them. So he says, the demigods, we can give a lot of benedictions, amazing boons to our devotees, but we cannot give them liberation. Right? Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnur evana samshaya. So there is no doubt that Vishnu can alone give liberation. We cannot give liberation. Right? So many people approach demigods for different benedictions. But there is one thing which they cannot also give, that is liberation. So for that we have to go to Krishna. Mukti chahiye, moksha chahiye, we have to go to Krishna. There is no other way. Right? And both Jiva and Krishna, both are called as Aja, unborn. But although we are Aja, we are forced to take birth in this material world because of our previous karma or whatever. But Krishna, he always remains Aja. He comes to this world out of his own sweet will. He is not forced to come here. Although he says that every millennium I come, yada yada I dharmasya glanir bhavati bharatam. But then he comes by his own sweet will. No one can force Krishna. Right? He comes in the self same body. There is no difference between Krishna's body and Krishna. Whereas we are forced to take birth in this world because of our previous karma. Right? Although we are also Aja, unborn, there is no birth for soul. There is only birth for the body. And our actions, they are called as either karma, vikarma or akarma. But Krishna, his actions are called as leelas or pastimes. So, sometimes we also see that it appears that Krishna is also influenced by the three modes when he is performing leelas on this world, in this world. When he comes in the form of a human being. I remember this pastime when Lord Ram, when Sita gets separated from Lord Ramchandra. So he is crying for Sita wandering in the forest, you know, along with Lakshman. Oh Sita, he was crying for Krishna, crying for Mother Sita. And then if you see, if externally you see, it appears as if he is, you know, like a mundane person crying for his beloved, crying for his lover. So it is not the case with Lord Ramachandra. So Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva, they were passing by when Lord Ram was crying like this for Mother Sita. So she gets confused. She gets a doubt whether this is the same Lord who's crying like this, like a mundane person, like an ordinary person crying for his, you know, girlfriend or boyfriend. So then Lord Shiva says, I don't have any doubt. If you have any doubt, you can test. So then Mother Sita actually comes down to test Lord Ramchandra in a disguise of Mother Sita. So as soon as she comes in front of Lord Ram, he says, Oh Mother Parvati, what are you doing here? So although he was absorbed in the Leela, in the Ramayana, Ram Leela, but then it is not that he has forgotten he is God. He is always God in all the situations. So another 10th difference between us and the Supreme Lord is that we cannot remain without working. We are forced to work in this material world. Again, Bhagavad Gita 3rd chapter, Krishna explains, Nahi kashchit kshanam api jatu tishtata karma krit karyate hi avashya karma sarva prakruti jayargine. So we are forced to act in this world because of the three modes. Sattva guna, rajo guna and tamo guna, they are forcing us to act. We cannot sit idle in this world. We have to work. Right? So but for Krishna there is no need to work. Krishna is not entitled to perform any work in this world. So one time one Westerner, he came to India. So he visited all the temples of India. And then while he was going back, so one reporter asked him, what is your realization after having, you know, seen so many temples in India? So he said, there is only one God in India, that is Krishna. How did you come to this conclusion? Then he says, I saw so many other gods holding some weapons in their hands. Someone is holding a sword. Someone is holding a trident. Someone is holding a bow and arrow in his hands. So it appears that everyone is busy working. But I saw only Krishna who is not working, who is just playing flute. He is enjoying. Right? So actually there is no need for Krishna to work in this world. But still he works. He comes to these worlds and performs activities just to inspire all of us, just to set an example, right? So there is no work that can, that is meant for Krishna. He is free not to work. And then 11th difference between us and the Supreme Lord is that the work that we do in this world binds us to this material world. If it is karma and vikarma, not the bhakti work, so we are bound, we get bound more and more. But Krishna, no work can bound. Even if he works in this material world, just to set an example for all of us, that work cannot bind Krishna. Namam karma nilimpanti, name karma falashpriya. So no work can bind Krishna. Right? Is beyond the effects of karma. And the 12th one, so I just compiled these differences based on whatever I saw in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So the 12th one is, eternal position of Jiva is that of servant. And eternal position of Krishna is that of master. This is the main important difference that we should remember. Rest all, even if you forget, that is no problem. But then this is important. Jivera Swarupaya, Krishnera Nityadas. So this is important. And then we have to act based on this constitutional position of a Jiva. So Jiva belongs to the spiritual nature of the Lord, although, you know, he belongs to the spiritual nature, but somehow he comes to this world of duality and gets affected by the three modes. Right? Example, raindrop is very pure. It's pure in nature, pure in quality. But as soon as the raindrop falls on the earth, it gets mixed with the mud and the raindrop becomes muddy or contaminated. Similarly, although the soul is pure, it gets contaminated in the association of the three modes of material nature. And that is how our journey started in this material world, in this world of duality. So, material energy is eternal because it belongs to Krishna. Krishna is eternal and material energy belongs to Krishna. In that sense, she is also eternal, but then she is manifested temporarily, you know. So, Jiva is also sometimes called as Nitya Baddha, eternally, you know, bound. So, is there no hope for a Jiva? So what does it mean that, you know, we are called as Nitya Baddha? So Nitya Baddha means since time immemorial, we have been, you know, living in this world for such a long time. And we are bound by the effects of three modes. And that's why we are called as Nitya Baddha. So Maya is very powerful. And to understand this, we can just discuss the two coverings of Maya because of which we all get illusioned. We always remain in illusion in this material world. So these two coverings of Maya, they are called as Avarnatmika Shakti and Prakshepatmika Shakti. Very powerful concepts. Right? And this is what is keeping us intact in this material world. We don't want to get out of this world because of these two coverings of Maya. Right? So first, Avarnatmika Shakti means it covers the knowledge and intelligence of the Jiva. Right? It covers us from to understand the true nature of Krishna, from understanding Krishna, from understanding the scriptures. That is also one function of Maya Devi, to keep us in ignorance of the real fact. And Prakshepatmika means the spell of diversion, with the power to throw the living entity into the ocean of material existence. Again and again she pushbacks into this material world. So, Avarnatmika Shakti, it covers the pure consciousness with the material desires. So, soul by default is pure in nature, but then we get contaminated as soon as we came to this world in the association of three modes, and then we cultivated material desires, and that is the contamination. Right? And the general notion of those who are covered with the Shakti of Maya, Avarnatmika Shakti, they say, I am comfortable in this world. There is no problem. Why should I change? Everything is nice. The person feels very satisfied in whatever condition he is in this world. Sab theek to chal raha hai. What is the problem? Right. For example, Prabhupada mentions, a worm in a stool is also satisfied and happy. If you remove the worm from the stool, it again comes back and sits on the stool. Because it is feeling so comfortable, so satisfied in that situation also. If you all remember, there is a story of Lord Indra. So Indra was cursed because of his offense towards Dhritarasura. And then he comes in the body of a hawk, a pig. So he becomes so comfortable in that body and he's managing his family. Rather, he's managing the whole community of pigs also. He's a leader there because the nature is there to be leader. So he was so busy in the affairs of in the body of the pig. So when the time was up, he has to come back again to the Swargaloka. But he was not coming. So he was so attached to that body of pig. And then Brahmaji has to come personally and tell him, please come, Baba, what are you doing here? He says, no, I have a lot of work to do. I'm very happy in this body. So that is the condition. If it can happen with Indra, then what to speak of all of us? So the notion is that I'm satisfied. There is no need for me to change. That is the kind of covering which Maya puts on us. And then, Prakshepatmika Shakti, it also compels the living entities to adopt reasons that again puts us into this materialistic life. The general notion is, if someone is, we have this experience in our own life. So when you used to go to the ISKCON temples in the beginning days, many people used to ask, so where are you going? Why are you going? What is the need for you to go in this age? We are supposed to go in the old age, right? No need to go to ISKCON. Are you a fool? And these ISKCON people, they have a lot of restrictions, rules and regulations. There is no need to go. So there are many people who becomes the agent of Maya to pull us back into the material existence. That is the Prakshepatmika covering of Maya, right? So, the conditioned soul thinks, yes, this Krishna consciousness is nonsense, let me give it up. There is no need to go to the temples. So, this is the kind of covering which Maya puts on all this. Avarnatmika Shakti, which covers the intelligence, the knowledge of the Jiva, and then the Jiva feels happy and satisfied in this world, not willing to go back. So, now imagine these kind of coverings on us. So, But then there is a hope also, which we'll discuss. So she is working on behalf of Krishna. Right? So she is working, she is the energy of Krishna. She is just fulfilling the supreme will of the energetic, that is Krishna. So Maya's purpose is to not put us in illusion for eternity. She wanted to teach us the futility of this material existence by being illusioned in this material world. So that is her purpose. She is trying to help us. You know, you cannot be happy in separation from Krishna. That is her job. So then Krishna also says this famous verse in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which we will discuss in few minutes. So he says, it is very difficult to cross over this Maya. Having seen the list of services, the thankless tasks that Maya is performing, the Avaranatmika Shakti and Prakshepatmika Shakti, although she is working on behalf of Krishna, so is there any chance for us to get out of this Maya? So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, 14th verse, Daivi hi esha gunamai mama maya durate mam eva e prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So this verse, it has two parts. The first part is about the power of Maya, how powerful Maya is, how great Maya is. And the second part Krishna discusses about the power greater than Maya also. That is the power of Krishna. Right? So we'll discuss. So Krishna says, Daivi hi esha gunamai, Daivi. So he's telling Maya is, she is divine. So but when we see how she can be divine, she is putting us in such conditions. She is making us more lusty. She is making us more angry. She is making us more greedy. How can she be divine? So it appears to be very contradicting. But then it is not that she is bad. It is we who chose the bad things that makes us bad. Right? So we cannot blame Maya for the choices that we make because of the little independence that we have, the free will that Krishna has given us. So we may use that free will to make choices that are not good for us, for our spiritual life. So His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu explains this concept using a very beautiful analogy. He says, a student who is appearing for the exams, and in the exam there is only multiple choice questions are given. And of the four answers, four options are given for each question. Of the four options, only one option is correct. Rest three are wrong options. Right? And if the student, you know, makes the choice of a wrong option, and he starts blaming the teacher, so you only gave us the four options, I have selected it. But then, you know, we cannot blame teacher like that. The teacher has already educated us, gave us the training. You know, she already told us what is the proper option. But then because of our ignorance, if we choose the wrong option, we cannot blame the teacher. Similarly, Maya may present many options to enjoy in this world. But she is also telling us about Krishna. Right? But then if we opt to choose the wrong things, we cannot blame Maya for her brutality or whatever. So that is one understanding. So the purpose of the teacher is to help the child get promoted. She doesn't want the child to sit in the same class again and again. That is not the purpose of a teacher. So Maya Devi also, she doesn't want to hold us back in this material world. She wanted to help us by making us more serious. So in that sense, the ultimate purpose of Maya is positive only. Because she is trying to bring us closer to Krishna by creating problems in our life. So that's why she is called as divine. And also her connection with Krishna also makes her divine. So it is our choice which will help us to promote or to demote. So then Krishna also says, Mama Maya Duratyaya. Very difficult to overcome. She is so powerful. It's not possible on our own to overcome Maya. Right? So, again, just to explain this concept. So, all of us, at least I have the experience when I was small, when I was going to school, So we used to go for tuition classes. We used to have a tutor and we used to take lessons from them. And sometimes the tutor also comes to our own place. In some cases, the tutor goes to the place of the child and then he gives classes to the child. So, but then the tutor has to be very strict with the child. The tuition teacher, as we say, he or she has to be very strict with the child. And the father is sitting there. Sometimes the tuition teacher also beats the child in front of the father, in front of the parents. But then that is the thankless task she has to do. And the father also keeps quiet because he knows that is good for him. Right? So one time, one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he asked this question to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, if our purpose is to serve Krishna, then why Maya is so strong? What is the need for Maya to be so strong? So instantly Prabhupada replies, he says, because your purpose is not strong. Right? So it means we are not sincere, we are not serious about our service to Krishna. Sincere in pleasing Krishna. So that is our problem. So we have to make first our purpose very strong. We have come to Krishna consciousness. And then we can actually become sincere, more and more sincere. Alright. So she is very difficult to overcome. But then we can overcome. And Krishna mentions that in the second part of this shloka. Mam evaye prapadyante. By surrendering to Krishna, we can overcome. There is no other way. Right. Again, to explain this beautiful concept, there is a analogy. One time one person enters a big estate of a rich man. Huge place, huge mansion. There is a big lawn also inside. So as soon as he enters the gate, suddenly a huge giant dog pounces upon him. And he becomes so fearful and started running. He starts running and the dog is chasing him. So he realizes that I cannot escape this dog. It is going to bite me today. I cannot escape. And he was very desperate. So he was just shouting, who is the owner of this dog? Please come here and save me. And the owner of that mansion, the owner of the dog, he comes and he just whistles and the dog stops. So Maya is compared to the dog, the huge gigantic dog in this story. And the person who was being chased by dog is the Jiva, the living entity. So she is so powerful like this dog. And the only way is when Krishna whistles and tells Maya, please stop, do not disturb him anymore. He has now surrendered to me. He has called out to me. So please leave him. That is the only way we can escape the clutches of Maya. When we surrender to Krishna. So she is doing a thankless task of putting us with so many coverings as we have discussed. But she is working under the direction of Krishna. Krishna also tells in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, one of the important verses of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam varaj. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masucha. So Krishna is saying that, if you surrender to me, giving up all of your engagements, then I will protect you from all the worries, all the reactions. Do not worry. So, although the instruction is very straightforward, but it is very difficult to understand the deeper meaning of this verse. Right? I remembered one of the stories from Sri Sampradaya. So, one time Kuresh was the disciple of Sri Ramanujacharya. He approaches Ramanujacharya and he asks him, please, can you please explain me the actual meaning of this verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajya? So then Ramanujacharya says, a person who can give up all the materialistic desires and serves his guru for one full year can understand the true meaning of this verse. So that was the answer given by Ramanujacharya. So then Kuresh tells, but how can I say that I am going to live for 1 year? I can't be sure about that. So please give me something else. Tell me something else. I don't have much time. Give me some other option. So then he says, Ramanujacharya says, okay. If you perform this activity for 1 month, what is that? You have to beg alms from door to door every day without knowing, without expecting that, you know, where will I get the next meal from? So if you can live like this for one full year, then you will begin to realize the meaning of this verse. It is not that you will completely understand, but you will begin to realize the true meaning of this verse. So when he says, I think this proposal is good for me, 1 month I can try. So Quresh actually tried for 1 month, you know, fully dependent on Krishna. And he's not worried about where he's going to get the next meal from. Devotees, when we travel in the train to go to some other place, we make so many arrangements for getting prasad at different stations, you know, let me arrange who will give me prasadam on this station. But here what Ramanujacharya is telling, just forget, don't expect where your meal is coming from, next meal is going to come from. So in this way, Quresh did, he followed the instructions, and then he came back to Yatiraj, Ramanujacharya, and he actually learned the true meaning of this verse, Sarva Dharman Parityaja. Right? Similar stories also with Dasharati, another disciple of Ramanujacharya. I will not go into details of this story, but then from that story also we can understand it is not easy to understand the deeper meaning of this shloka. Right? They had to go through a lot, and then their guru Ramanujacharya actually explained them the real meaning of what surrender means. But then there is a good news. The good news that our Acharya Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave us a very practical understanding of how we can surrender. What does surrender means? Right. He says, Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam Rakshi Satiti Krishna Vishvasho Gotrupte Varanam Tatha Atmanikshepa Karpanya Shadivida Sharana Dati. So 6 limbs of surrender Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in this shloka, and it begins with Anukulyasya Sankalpa, following the favorable things, things which are favorable to one's bhakti. And Pratikulyasya Varjanam, avoiding those things which are unfavorable for us, do's and don'ts. Like when we go to an Ayurvedic doctor, so he diagnoses the problem and then he also gives the treatment, and then he says the treatment will work only when you do this and when you avoid this. Right? You have to eat only this, you cannot eat this. Only then the treatment will work. Similarly, to develop love for Krishna, to understand what surrender means, there are do's and don'ts in the scriptures also. So, and then to have faith that only Krishna can protect us, to be fully dependent on Krishna, and to have this understanding that, you know, I am nothing, Krishna is everything. Basically to become humble. So these are the 6 limbs. Of these 6 limbs, if you just focus on the first 2 limbs, that is sufficient. Rest all will be taken care of. The first 2. Anukulyasya Sankalpa, Pratikulyasya Varjanam. So surrendering means choosing those actions that takes us closer to Krishna. Surrender means giving up our will and following the will of Krishna. And that is what Arjuna did after hearing Bhagavad Gita. He did not want to fight the war. But then after hearing Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, he said, Karishye Vachanam Tava. Let me follow your will, Krishna. If you see one example of the Mahabharat war, we can see the surrender of Arjuna also. High level of surrender. So when Krishna tells Arjuna to kill Karna, who was without any weapons, who was standing on the earth, he was not even sitting on the chariot, and then Krishna is telling Arjuna to kill him, which was against the rules of war. But then Arjuna chose to kill because Krishna was telling. And Arjuna knew that perpetually I will be blamed for this act. People will say that, you know, how can you kill Karna like this? So, but then Arjuna chose to follow the will of Krishna, even at the risk of getting the blame from this world that, you know, what kind of person are you? So this requires high level of surrender, which Arjuna also demonstrated in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And to follow these 2 limbs which I mentioned, Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam, Srila Prabhupada, our savior, He has given us the ISKCON temples, he has given us the morning program where we can actually, he has given up the lifestyle where we can actually practice these two things. Anukulyas Sankalpa, Pratikulyas Varjanam. So Prabhupada gave us morning Mangalarti, where we can dance for the pleasure of the Lord. And then he gave us the time slot for doing our Japa meditation. And then for intelligence, he gave us the Bhagavatam classes. So he gave us everything for the heart and the head. And also daytime, you can engage your hands in service of Krishna. So he has created such facility for all of us through this, through the medium of ISKCON temples, where we can practice hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. Right? So Maya is very powerful, no doubt. But if you perform hearing and chanting, Shravanam and Kirtanam, in the association of devotees, by coming to temples, by attending the satsang programs, we can actually overcome the powerful Maya, the divine energy of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada himself demonstrated high level of surrender by surrendering to the instructions of his guru, his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Right? He left everything, all the comforts of the Vrindavan, where he was nicely performing his bhajan, but then he chose to go to the West to fulfill the desire of his guru, the instruction of his guru. That is the kind of surrender which Prabhupada demonstrated. So, we are all grateful to him for that, for creating these beautiful ISKCON temples, where he is giving us an opportunity to come together and practice bhakti, hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, and only then we can, you know, may expect, and there is a hope which Krishna is giving also through this verse, we can overcome the power of Maya. So these are some of the thoughts on this verse. So I'll end here. We are already 5 minutes beyond. Anyone has any comment or a question? Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. Srimad Granthra, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.